When we do business with God, whether it might be during the worship time, or it might be I'm speaking, or when we're praying for each other, there are moments when God does something. And maybe those two prayers that we just prayed, Alison and I, are significant for you. In which case, just forget the rest of the, just sit there politely, but let God deal with you on that stuff that you don't have to worry about the rest of it. Just wait for the moment that's for you. I'm David, by the way. That was Alison speaking next to me. We're the senior pastors here, and we're very pleased to see you. are there any Australians here? No. That's good. That's good. Okay, right, Southern Hemisphere. Anybody from the Southern Hemisphere here? Yeah. Oh dear, right. This is the last day, week was a day of mourning, as England lost to Wales, and I'm still mourning. In fact, I'm wearing my black armband just here, just as a sign. But I do feel I can't preach with a black armband on, so I think I'll take that off. That's probably inappropriate. We're looking at relationships in this series that we're in at the moment, and last week we looked about how do you find good friends, and we said you find good friends by looking for character, you seek out character. And this week we're looking at false beliefs which foil friendship. You like the alliteration there? False beliefs which foil friendship. And it's interesting that as I've been preparing this, and I sort of dealt with this material on and off for years and years and years, but as I was preparing this, I felt God once again just putting his finger on stuff in my life, false beliefs in my life, which affect the way I deal with people. And I sense that today the Holy Spirit, if you let him, will put his finger on something in your life. A false belief which affects the way that you behave, affects the way that you have relationships. And if you let him, it usually hurts when he puts his finger on something sore. But if you let him, he'll bring healing and restoration. So as we go through this material, I want you to be listening out to the Holy Spirit and say, "What is that me? Is that me?" Most of what I talk about this morning is about me, that's for sure. But there's one or two areas that this time round he's particularly put his finger on. On the way in, you should have had one of these handed to you. If you haven't, just stick your hand up and somebody will come and press one into your hand. It's a list of truth about what God says about you. And it's the antidote to one of the things I'm going to be talking about, which are some of the lies that we believe. We'll come back to that a bit later on. So, do you want to come on this little journey with me of investigating what the truth is and how our false beliefs can spoil our relationships? Yes? Do you want to come with me? Yeah, okay. Let's pray, shall we? Well, we're here to listen to you to try and understand more about your love for us and the truth of what you're saying to us. But we just want to remember things around us, in particular the things that bother us. And we lift up to you today the people in Redcar in Northeast, where there's been that big closure of that steel business, who thousands of people out of work. And we don't understand that, and we regret it. Lord, we ask you to go and make provision for those people and minister to them. And we pray for the ongoing complications in the Far East, in the Middle East rather, all that stuff that's happening that hits our news day in, day out, more and more people being killed and persecuted. And we don't understand that, but we pray for that you will speak wisdom into the minds and hearts of the leaders of our countries as they seek to find resolution. Thank you for all the vineyards in the north of the country. We met together on Friday, the senior pastors and staff, and we had a great time, and the Lord is doing stuff in the north, and we thank you, Lord, for your presence amongst us and the stories that we heard about you at work. And finally, we thank you for the giving of the people in this church to this church, the financial giving week in, week out. It's a sign of your gift and your kindness to us that you provide for us in this way. We pray that you'll be with us as we grapple with some of these delicate issues about our false beliefs and how they affect our relationships. Amen. I'm a friendly person, okay, by and large. I get on well with people. I know how to make people feel at ease. I'm sort of friendly, and I think that's because I am trustworthy as opposed to just technically good at it. There's a little bit of me that worries that I'm just being clever, but I think I'm a trustworthy person. I think the people around me would tell me if I weren't. Nevertheless, although in many ways I'm a people person, I'm doing this for a start, I actually am an introvert in many other areas. When we are hanging around with people, much as I love them, at the end of something that we do amongst people, I just want to go and watch England win at rugby on my own, or read the newspaper, just get away. Alison, on the other hand, finds it replenishing and she wants more. And we're just different like that. I think I am friendly, and I have some great friends, and I have good relationships with my family. Part of the way I express myself in relationship emerges out of a little subterranean fear and anxiety. And I think it restricts my ability to grow good friendships. It works like this. These false beliefs, these ways, they come out of previous experiences. You have an experience in a relationship which goes wrong and where it gives rise to certain emotion. And that emotion in turn leads us into a way of thinking, a pattern of belief. And that in turn affects the way we behave with people and how we enter relationships. When I first started playing rugby, it's a theme today, rugby, I learned how to tackle, unlike my compatriots last night. Anyway, but the first time I went down to tackle somebody, if you imagine Ben, let's say I was tackling Ben, and he was running this way, and I went out to tackle him, I used to put my head in front of his knees, thinking that I'd get as much of my body in the way as possible. That didn't work very well. I was knocked out, black eye, and it hurt, and he didn't fall over. And so I, out of that pain, I decided I was never going to tackle anybody again. I was going to take up table tennis. But the coach explained to me how you can tackle and you put your head behind the legs and it doesn't hurt so much and you can get the person down and do that. And once I learned that, I changed my belief system. Yes, I can do this. It's not going to hurt. I'll keep going at it. An experience was a poor experience and led me in one direction. When I learned the truth about the way to tackle, I went in a different direction and I enjoyed playing rugby for many years. I know that explains my face being disfigured. But there you go. She still married me. However, I was able to change the way I played. Now, the creation account in Genesis tells us about God's original design for the way we should do things. He didn't talk about rugby, but he talked about relationships. And it says this, Genesis 1, 26 to 27, "Let us make man in our own image, in our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, if you read that carefully, you'll see that the first person is plural. Let us make man in our own image. It's not let me make man, it's us. God is talking about relationship between himself, what we call the Trinity, himself, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It comes out of relationship, and he says, let us make them, not it, them. Plural. He comes out of relationship, and he makes relationship. It's the way we are created. You read on through Genesis, and it's man disobeys God, you know, the apple and Eve and all that. Sin enters the world, and false beliefs about our relationship enter into our thinking. What happens? Genesis 3, verse 8 to 10, false beliefs. Then the man and his wife, it's a poignant passage, this, very poetic. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he walked in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Adam and Eve sinned, and they were afraid. They were afraid of their false beliefs about God, what he was going to do. It led them to hide. We've all sinned. Romans 3 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And therefore, we're all susceptible to thinking wrongly, to false beliefs, because we come from that place of sin. Now, if you've given your life to Jesus, and if you're following him, as a disciple, you will have experienced his forgiveness. And you will be in the process of learning the truth about what he thinks about you and the truth about your relationship with God, instead of the lies that we grow up with. And you are in the process of being healed and learning to think differently and not having to hide. But we've all experienced bad things which impact the way we behave today. It even happens to animals. The other day, I was walking down the road, and there was this dog leaning against the wall having a wee. Okay, but it was leaning like this, on this wall. And I said to the owner, I said, that's amazing, that's remarkable, never seen a dog wee like that. I said, why would he want to wee like that? How long has he been doing that? And the owner said, ever since he went to do it the other way and the wall fell on him. He learnt to hold the wall up from a bad experience as a dog. It illustrates my point, doesn't it? I briefed my team beforehand that they were meant to laugh at that point. You let me down. The dog makes sure the wall won't fall on him. I made sure that I learnt the right way to tackle. Adam and Eve were afraid because their relationship with God had broken down. In the course of our life, from being a baby in the womb to growing up as a child to learning about friendships in the adult world, you learn mixed experiences. You have mixed experiences, and you become a little bit anxious as you approach new relationships. You become a bit more careful. You protect yourself, unlike a tiny baby. Now, some of you are thinking, don't I just know it, David? I could give you a million reasons why I keep screwing up my relationships. And some of you are thinking, it's not me, David, it's next door. It's him, or it's her, it's them. It's not my fear, it's theirs, it's everybody else. Still others of you are thinking, don't have a problem making friends, David. I'm not afraid or anxious at all. Do you mind if I check Facebook whilst you're speaking? Not at all. Carry on. This isn't for you. Now, I'm not a psychologist. I'm a pastor, and my job is to bring to you the truth from the scriptures about who you are and how the truth will set you free. And that's why I've given you these to think about and to take away with you. Let me first of all just hold up a mirror and tell you about some forms of behavior which you may or may not recognize in yourself, and which I'll then reflect on in terms of what that says about false beliefs. There are lots of these, and I'm going to skim through them really quickly. I'll have more full notes on the website in a day or two if you want to read up on it. And I just want us just to wait and to, Lord, would you come and would you stop us skipping over the things we think are okay? And where this is an issue for us, will you highlight it and come and minister to us and deal with us? So some of you may wear a mask. You tend to distance yourself, distance the real you. You get a little uncomfortable when the conversation becomes personal, and you weave a slightly fabricated web, you spin a tale about yourself a little, which is what you present to people. Or you step back from people who you meet somebody for the first time, you think, I feel I'm about to be controlled, so I'll step back a bit. And you avoid closeness in relationship. Or maybe you just choose to be alone. You actually like being with other people, but you turn down the invitation to go to a film with your friends and you watch it at home on your own. And somebody said about you that you're a bit of a loner, and you've taken that on. Or when people, this is one of mine, ask my colleagues in church and in the church office about this one. When you feel let down, you get cross. Okay? So you tend to operate a bit independently, and you get overly self-controlling because you think you're not going to be, people aren't going to do what you've asked them to do. And you tend to operate a bit independently. That's definitely one of mine. Or you're somebody who does things on their own. You're solitary. In fact, somebody once said, you know, you're almost unfriendly. And you thought, yes, that's what I'm unfriendly. You push people away. If I asked you to name three warm, good characteristics about yourself, you'd struggle. Or you stay independent and in control, and it's a sort of, not in a bad way, but in a sort of, I'm slightly superior. I don't actually need everybody else. I'll take responsibility. You end up controlling quite a lot of what goes on around you. You rescue others, you take care of them. They can't really manage without you. Or maybe you're a perfectionist. You're working really hard to make people love you. And the way you could tell this happens is that when you're with a bunch of friends, you can't quite relax because you don't want them to lose interest in you. Or you're somebody who depends on others and you find yourself, you say, why am I so clingy with other people? Why do I invade their personal space? Why do I keep saying things to seek attention when I don't really want it? I just sort of come out with stuff trying to get people to notice me. And you're trying hard to be loved. Or maybe you just avoid confrontation. You get angry, but you suppress those feelings. And if there's a problem between you and somebody else, your spouse or a friend, you put it to one side. You don't deal with it. You leave problems unresolved. Or maybe you're somebody who just withdraws from relationships. You find yourself, right, I'm sulking. I'm going to take my bat home. And what's the Lord speaking to you about now? These ways of behaving they reveal false beliefs, okay? They emerge from out of a tide of emotions and things like fear and anxiety and anger and insecurity and shame. And the emotions we experience when the wall falls on us, we may not even actually know about or consciously remember the experience, but something happened. It went wrong, we got hurt. The wall fell on us, and now we protect ourselves. Let's think about some of those false beliefs. Here's one. If people really knew what I was like, they wouldn't like me. So, next slide. I've skipped it, haven't I? Sorry. Can you go through to the list of false beliefs? Is it there somewhere? There we go. Thank you. If people really knew me, they would not like me. That's why you make a mask, which you hope they will like. If someone comes too close, I'm going to be trapped. You maybe already are in, or you have been in a relationship, maybe with a parent or a spouse, which is really sort of very close, and you've felt you're afraid you're going to be trapped if you get into another one. Or loving someone means inevitably losing them one day. Those of us who have suffered loss in the last year or so, this is resonating. What's the point of building a relationship if we're going to lose it? The fact there's truth in this, we're human, things will go wrong, people die, all relationships will come to an end. But it's a belief. It's a belief without the truth of the gospel which stops you from building relationships. Or don't trust anyone. People are never there when you need them. People are never there when you need them. Somewhere in your life, in your belief system, you've learned not to trust in people because they won't turn up. You've been let down. Or I hurt people. I push them away. These are the unfriendly ones. So I hurt people. I'm going to be unfriendly to keep them away. The irony is that you're unfriendly, so they get hurt. And they say, you're hurting me because you're being unfriendly. See, I hurt people. And it just is a vicious circle. You probably have hurt somebody at some point. You may have done. You may have hurt somebody. Allow God to forgive you and reveal all that good stuff in you. Allow him to show you the people who are proud in you, the fact that he's proud of you. Or I don't need people. That's another false belief. It's the relationship equivalent of anorexia. C.S. Lewis says this in The Four Loves. He says, the illusory feeling that it is good for us to be alone, is a bad spiritual symptom. Just as lack of appetite is a bad medical symptom. Because we really do need food. God says in Genesis 2, it is not good for man to be alone. Or the false belief that if I put in lots of work, I will be loved. You're popular. You're helpful to everybody. Their happiness depends on you. And you want to put in lots of work to make sure it stays like that. Or I am responsible for somebody else's happiness. I'm responsible for other people's happiness. You probably come out of a background of some sort of chaos and disorder, and you became the rescuer. And now you're rescuing everybody else because you're responsible. If you don't do your bit, they're not going to be happy. You end up controlling. And it's a lie. Another false belief. It's unbearable to be alone. This is the opposite of it's good to be alone. It's unbearable to be alone, so I have to have people. We've all got unmet needs in us. We all reach out to other people for those unmet needs. But sometimes it goes too far, doesn't it? We become over-demanding. We invade space. Our friendship requires too much. It leads to jealousy and possessiveness and exclusive relationships. If you like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, read his book, Life Together. He explores this whole dynamic of us needing to be healthily alone and healthily together. And one can't exist without the other. Another one is conflict is wrong. I must keep the peace at all costs. And this depends on how conflict was modeled to you in your family or around you. And it's dysfunctional to believe that conflict is wrong because it means that when problems emerge, you don't deal with them and they poison away. A bit like what Alison was saying, they poison away and they erode a relationship over time. Finally, a real friend knows what you need and puts you first. This is the archetypal complaint of the husband. Doesn't she know what I'm thinking? Or she thinks I know what she's thinking, is usually the complaint. It's actually the other way around in my household. I often assume Alison knows what I want us to do, something or other, and then she goes off and does something different and I get really cross. I didn't bother to tell her, I just thought she'd know. Apparently it seems to do with me being an elder child, and when my brothers and sisters came along, my parents no longer, their world didn't revolve around me anymore. So you withdraw and you end up sulking and you forgive reluctantly. Let me summarize and then I'll conclude. Our experiences, and I've gone through this really quickly, and what I think the Lord has said is that he's going to take one of those things. One of those ways of behavior may have highlighted to you a false belief in your life. And you can ignore the rest. You can just spend your time thinking about that and ask the Holy Spirit to work with you on that one. Our experiences lead us into certain emotions like fear and anxiety and shame and insecurity. And when we're afraid, we hide. That's what Adam and Eve did. And these emotions lead us into false beliefs. And those false beliefs in turn direct us to behave in ways which make it difficult to form good relationships. And this is where the church comes in. The church, with all of its faults, and we're all human and we all carry this stuff, okay, with all its faults, offers two things to bring healing and restoration. First of all, it offers the truth. And I've given you some of those handouts. It offers the truth of the gospel. God loves you passionately. Jesus died to save you from your sins. The Holy Spirit lives in you to transform you into a new person. That's the truth. And you can be restored in your relationship with your Heavenly Father and thereby with your brothers and sisters. The truth. The second thing that the church offers is community, a place to work this out. It's not easy. This takes courage. This takes looking at pain and allowing it to change you. We still fear rejection and disapproval, but we start in this community of faith where we say here, this is somewhere that you could come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are. But let's help you navigate that risky, scary journey of transformation. Bonhoeffer says this, the one who seeks solitude without fellowship perishes in the abyss of vanity, self-infatuation and despair. Come as you are, into the community, inadequate as though we are, but come and let us pursue this together. Let us listen to the truth and let us pursue his transformation as we work this stuff out with each other. First of all, let me finish with John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. Jesus said this, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins, that's all of us, is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son or a daughter belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So guys, rather than believe those false things about yourself, I want you to know the truth. And as you pursue the truth, Jesus will set you free. Free from fear, free from anxiety, free from anger, free from insecurity, free from shame. May this church, imperfect as it is, be a place where disciples learn to follow Jesus, to believe the truth, are set free, and we can go out and grow healthy, mutual, committed, trusting, loving, replenishing relationships. Amen. Yeah? Should we do that? Okay. It's not going to be easy. This is not a tick box. This is not a little medicine you can take and everything's better. This is hard graft of learning to follow Jesus. But you're with me. Shall we have a go at this? Yeah? And go and change the world. Why don't we stand and we'll pray together. Just get yourself comfortable, because I asked you to stand just because you've been sitting for a while. There's nothing spiritual about it, and if our body posture helps us to receive from God a little bit better when we're standing. So that's the only reason why, really. I just want to pray through and over you a number of things, which are sort of halfway prayers and halfway my pastoral injunction to you as to how to do this journey. Okay? So if this is for you, just take it on. Lord, first of all, we come to you. Each of us have sort of probably thought, that's a false belief in my heart, in my mind. And I've been believing that, one of those things. And so I repent. It's a lie, and I believed it, and I'm sorry. I repent. I turn the other way, and I choose to believe the truth. I want to give you time just to process that repentance, identifying where it is that you believe something that isn't true, and repenting, which means turning away, doing something different, looking the opposite direction. I choose to repent of that false belief and turn towards you instead. Now, Lord, You've made this promise that you died for me, that you'll forgive my sin. I receive your forgiveness. I'm going to ask you to say those words. And for some of you, that's a really significant thing to say, because you've repented of something and now God is going to forgive you, and in that forgiveness comes freedom. But we'll all say it together. I receive your forgiveness. Ready? I receive your forgiveness. Let's do that again. I receive your forgiveness. Lord, I pray that as we turn to you, having received your forgiveness, you will teach us the truth. Help us to read the scriptures carefully and hear your voice, your love letter to us. Lord, I pray for any relationships that have been broken, like Alison was talking earlier on. Any relationships amongst us that have been broken, or from us outside that have been broken. Lord, would you come and would you help people deal with those things? I'll give you a moment just to think through the relationships that you feel challenged about, and to imagine those people in your mind and ask God to help you restore relationship. And Lord, many of us feel we want to protect ourselves. We want to put our paws up on that wall. We feel at risk. But we undertake to take the risk and to try again. We want to take the risk and try again and step into the way that you call us to build relationships and to build a family, to build friendships. And Lord, where we've wavered from our, we don't need this community of faith. We can manage without church. We can do this on our own. Where we sort of thought that through, or where it's felt dangerous, we're sorry for that, and we ask you to help us connect with our brothers and sisters and learn to live as the body of Christ together. Now, let his spirit come and minister to you, wherever you are. If you have children, I'll send you out to get them in a minute. If you can go really quietly so that we can carry on praying for the people who are still here. And if you need to go and get your children and you want somebody to pray for you, then find a way of getting back here, and we'll be carrying on to pray for quite a while. So I'll send you in a minute. But let's just for now, just allow the Holy Spirit to come and touch you. Let him come with his power and his love to heal, to restore you. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. It'll get very busy as soon as you leave here. That's it. More. Holy Spirit, come. Let him come. Let him speak to you. Bless what you're doing. Let him come. It's that picture of him wandering in the garden saying, "Where are you?" He's coming to you. Don't be afraid. If you're engaged with God and you just want us to bless you, we'll just want to put our hand on your shoulder and say, "Lord, I bless what you're doing." We're not going to shout. We're not going to shout and scream or anything like that. Just to bless what the Lord's doing in you. Then just stay as you are. Just stay as you are. And the guys will, people who are regulars here know what they're doing, are going to look around. And if they think the Lord is saying, "Go and pray for that person," you might find somebody comes up to you and puts a hand on your shoulder and blesses what the Lord's doing in you. If you need to get your children, now is a good time to go. Please go quietly so we can continue to pray. If you're a leader here, or you pray regularly for people, will you go and start ministering to people? I think there's still stuff going on. There's still, the Lord still wants to minister to you. We haven't finished yet.
When we were singing the song where it has the line, "I'm calling you, and we're running home." Just a sense, exactly what David was saying about God is really calling us. For some people, it's a really significant morning. It may be the first time that you've ever responded to Jesus, but he's calling some of you. And some of you knew that when David said that, that was you. You can feel your heart racing. And it may be the first time you've ever responded to Jesus. Or it may just be another step on the journey for you. But if that is you, do get someone to pray for you, because I think, yeah, it's a significant morning for some people. He is calling your name. He is calling you to you, and he's inviting you to know him better.
Thank you for what you're doing. Okay, we need to wrap up. So we'll carry on praying. If nobody's got to you or you change your mind, come to the front here and I'll find somebody who will pray with you. If you've come needing healing today or you want to respond to what Helen's just said or anything else, I would love to minister to you. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard today. I pray that you have a great week and make really good friends. Amen.